I want to bring up a subject that's a sore spot to some of you who've been on vacation a lot, been off work a lot, and that is what you're going to do when you go back in the coming week. Although there might be some people who may not be going back in the coming week, but hopefully that won't be the case. But if you go back to work this week, what are you going to do in your first 15 minutes, first hour, first morning that you're back? It may be that the task that you do first will be something that is connected to a deadline. That you've got to hit a deadline in the next 48 hours or 72 hours, and so you address that task. It may be that the second or third thing you do when you get back is connected to that which has the most impact on the organization, the most people affected, the most money connected to that activity, something like that. In other words, when you go back, you're going to prioritize. But when you prioritize, it's not going to be in a vacuum. You are going to make that decision based upon what you see, based upon what you perceive that's coming, and also based upon your perception of what is valuable, what is important. I want you to consider with me this morning the subject of priorities and perspective, specifically from Matthew chapter 6. I want you to consider with me two sections from Matthew chapter 6 that speak about priorities and perspective. So consider with me here, and I have both of these texts on the screen, but if you'd like to look in your own Bible, that's great. In Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus saying this on the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This passage speaks about priorities. The priority of valuing heaven more than earth, and working for the heavenly investment, the heavenly treasure, even ahead of the earthly treasure that someone may acquire. Later on in this same chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this in verse 31, beginning, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This passage actually uses the typical kind of language that we use when we talk about priorities, because it talks about what to seek first. You prioritize, you rank the most important, and that's the thing that you address first. That's the thing that you put the most effort into. That's the thing that has your utmost attention. And Jesus, when He talks about priorities here, He talks about seeking first God's kingdom, His rule, submitting to Him, and His righteousness. Being right with God. Being in the right relationship with God. Being justified before God. And there is even a warning that He gives here about priorities, because we understand that anytime you're talking about a list of what's important, there are some things at the top and there are some things at the bottom. And what is tricky is to make sure you don't let the things toward the bottom that is of less importance interfere with the things that are of greater importance. And He gives the warning here not to be overly concerned about the physical, because we understand that that can crowd out the spiritual. So consider with me here about priorities. It's a good time of the year to think about it. It's a time of the year when people are reflecting on the past events and the past choices we've made, and we're thinking ahead, and we're planning, and we're reevaluating and even considering changes in anything that we do. Well, it's important for Christians to reflect back and then to project ahead and think about what we're doing and where we're headed. To think about our priorities. And a lot of what Jesus says here, I just want to make a real quick list here that I think is a very handy list to carry with us into the new year. when you look at what Jesus teaches here in Matthew chapter 6, we can understand that when it comes to priorities, that people are more important than things. We have to have things. But when it comes to what Jesus teaches here about heaven and about God, we would understand that people are more important than things are. And second of all, that the spiritual is more important than the physical. You see that emphasized in both of those references there. We see the inherent flaws with the physical. We see that though the physical has a place, it pales in comparison to the spiritual of our eternal destiny and of our relationship with God, who is the Spirit. And that it's God who is the primary relationship, that God is the primary pursuit. The New American Standard there in that second reference uses the expression seek. What are we seeking? What are we pursuing? Well, of all the things that we can pursue, it's God. It's being right with God. It's being in submission to Him. It's living in His kingdom. That is the primary relationship. That is the primary pursuit that we are to have as His people. Well, you know, those types of priorities are not surprising to us. And we understand the value of them, that this is what pleases God. This, if we live by this list right here, this is what will benefit others around us more in the coming year. And this is what will enrich our own lives if we live by these priorities. And most of us have no trouble with this list. We intellectually understand that that's a good list if you're a believer in God. It's not that we don't understand what the right priorities are. It's that we have trouble living by them, acting upon them, implementing these priorities. And that's where perspective comes in. Because I want you to consider with me priorities and perspective. Because Jesus' teaching here in Matthew chapter 6 addresses both. And I want to read these texts again. And we've seen how that there are priorities taught in these texts, but I want you to look a little deeper, and I want you to consider the perspective from which Jesus is working, how He's wanting us to look at things, because how we look at things will affect what we do, will affect our priorities. What perspective is Jesus teaching? He says, beginning in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see the perspective. Why would you lay up treasure in heaven? Heaven is that promised eternal home that the people of God have. While it is something we cannot see, and none of us have a first-hand acquaintance that has been there, so that is far off. That is a challenge to conceive. Earthly living is more immediate. We can see the value of physical things around us, and we can see what we can do with some of those earthly physical things that have an immediate benefit. But Jesus says, look at this. You know what can happen to any physical treasure? You can lose it. Any physical treasure, any earthly treasure, is vulnerable. Everything we have physically naturally wears out, breaks down, decays. Or before it wears out, breaks down, decays, somebody messes it up. They break it, or they steal it. They interfere with it. What Jesus is saying is, look closely at your earthly treasure. It's not worth that much after all. Then He says, but heaven is different. Peter talks about it's an inheritance that is undefiled and does not fade away in the first chapter of his first letter. And what Peter is teaching there is echoing what Jesus teaches, and that is that when it comes to the heavenly treasure we have, the hope of going and living with God one day, the relationship with God and His Son, He sits at His right hand, and that experience one day of being with the Father in His house for eternity, There is no thief that can take that away from us. There is no rust. There is no insect that can destroy that. It is untouched by the typical human, earthly things that we're used to experiencing, where we're fighting. You know, a house, you got to keep painting it and caulking it. A car, you got to keep the oil change. You got to keep fresh brakes and new tires on it. I mean, anything earthly we have, it's a constant fight to maintain it. Why? Because inherently, it's slipping away from us. But Jesus is saying, look at heaven. It's not that way. It's permanent. It is untouchable by the typical earthly threats. And so that's why he says, the action he calls for, the priority he calls us to live by, is put your treasure in heaven. Look at the second thing he teaches. In verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He refers to the Gentiles here, a reference to the pagans who did not believe in the one true God. A good example of these people would be the people Paul addresses in Acts 17, where he says, I see that you're a very religious people. You've got all these idols, these different gods. I want to talk to you about the God that you don't know. You see, the Gentiles did not know God. They didn't know the one true God. And so as a result, they had, from their perspective, legitimate concerns about their eating, their food, their clothing, etc. But it's different when you know God. When you know God as your Father. Because you understand that all the things that you have need of, He knows about them. And He's going to help you with them. Why would you trust the Father? Because He has the ability to provide whatever we need. Why would you trust the Father? Because you know His character and that He cares for us. And so when He talks about their priorities here, seek first God, seek first the Father's kingdom, seek first His righteousness. You're seeking the one who's going to take care of all your other needs, including your physical needs. And if you know that one true God, if that's the way you look at things, then you can have that priority. If you don't know that God, then no wonder you worry about what you eat and what you wear, etc. And what he's teaching here is that you seek above all physical things the kingdom of the Father. You seek above all physical things being right with the Father. Because He's of greater value than any of these things. These are lesser things that will be taken care of by Him as our Father. What you just have to focus on is this Father who knows our needs and will provide those needs. Which is the thing we need to really work on. We would all agree that we probably need to do some work on our priorities in the coming year. But I want you to see that first of all, what we need to work on is our perspective, because our perspective drives our priorities. We need to work on putting things first. That need to be first. Putting people before material things. Putting the spiritual over the physical. And above all things, pursuing God. But we'll only do that if we have the right perspective. For instance, the questions are these. What do you see in your mind when it comes to your standards, when it comes to the forces that you respect, that you fear, that the forces that you know are there that you can lean on? What do you see? Is it physical things? Is it wealth? Is it health? Is it the right social or political system? Or is it God? Is that your security? Is that your strength? Is that your source of help? What do you see? How do you assess the value of things? How valuable is your car? How valuable is your wardrobe? How valuable is your house? How valuable is your savings account or your mutual funds? Just how valuable are they? Oh, the earth has an assessment of those things. it, you know, if you can look at it from an earthly standpoint and you can make a judgment about how much those things are worth in a monetary sense. But from another perspective, when you realize the frailty of those things, the vulnerability of those things, how much are they really worth? And on the other hand, how much is relationship with God worth? How much is relationship with His people worth? How much is godly morality worth? How much is worship to God worth? How do you assess the value of things? And how far off are you looking? Are you thinking a week ahead, a month ahead, 5 years ahead, 20 years ahead? At certain levels, it's wise to think that way, to think down the road 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, etc. But do you see even further? Do you see to the end of your lifetime? Do you see also into eternity, to the afterlife? Isn't it just amazing that we live in a culture that has so marginalized God, pushed God to the side, relegated to just a personal opinion, and in a subtle way just basically said, that's sort of a myth or a legend, it's not really all that real and verifiable. But even in a culture that has regulated God to the margins, there is this inner drive within human beings, and you see it all the time in pop culture, in literature, in theater, in movies, etc., in film. And that is, there's just this expectation, there is life after death. Now, where does that come from? If you don't think that this God thing is, there's much to it, why would you ever think there's an afterlife? But there's just this innate belief in human beings that there is more to life than this life. Well, that's the real myth and legend. If you don't believe in God and don't have guidance from His Word, how would you ever believe in an afterlife? That's just myth and legend. Unless you know God and you know His promises and you know His teaching, His revelation. Then you understand there is an afterlife. There's a judgment, there's a resurrection, there's a heaven and a hell. There you have the facts. And you have it from one who's on the other side who knows. From one who penetrated from that side to this side, Jesus Christ, and came and lived among men and told us of the Father. That is much more legitimate than just wishful thinking, oh, we'll all go to a better place. Where do you get that? Unless you believe in God. And so what do you see? How far off do you see? Well, what you see, how you assess things, and how far off you're looking, that all affects your perspective. And your perspective is going to drive your priorities. Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 6 these two great truths. And that is, heaven is more valuable than anything on earth. And that being under the Father's rule and being right with the Father is the most important, the most desirable goal that we can have. Well, if we looked at life this way, if we looked at eternity this way, we'd have the right priorities. So consider these three questions in light of this. Are the right principles guiding your relationships? In light of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew, the thing that should guide your relationships is heaven. In other words, you helping other people to go to heaven and you leaning on other people and looking to other people who can help you go to heaven. You need to care enough about people to encourage them to follow God. I mean, you can encourage them to make wise investments financially. You can encourage them to pursue a really great job. You can encourage them to buy the most economical car or hire the best repairman to fix your HVAC. But the greatest thing you can encourage somebody to do is know God and be right with God so they can go to heaven and live with God one day. Because all those other things are going to wear out anyway. All those other things are going to be lost anyway. What should drive your relationship with somebody else is helping them get on the path to heaven. And that means even caring enough about them to confront them in their sin. There are a lot of people who need to be taught. They don't know anything about God. Again, it's a perspective. You can't expect a person who does not know God and His Word to have the right morality. Because they don't trust God and trust His Word enough to know the teaching. But when somebody knows God's teaching and they know God's way, but yet they still don't follow the right way, that's a person who needs to be confronted, not taught, but confronted. And we need to care enough about others that we will even confront them and admonish them so they will be right with God to go to heaven. That matters more than anything else. And we need to be humble enough to accept other people's help, to accept other people's teaching and encouragement. If somebody can help me go to heaven, I need to listen to them. If somebody can help me go to heaven, I need to be around them. I need their encouragement. Those are the kinds of things that should drive our relationships. If heavenly values govern our relationships, there's no place for jealousy. That's such a small, pitiful thing. There's no place for envy. There's no place for bitterness. And I want you to consider the second question. Are your pursuits of spiritual value? I have a friend that lives in Florida who is a huge University of Florida Gators fan, big football fan. And he goes, for years he has, to all the home games for the Gators. Have you ever heard of Danny Werfel? He was a very accomplished quarterback for the Florida Gators in the 1990s. He won the Heisman Trophy, and under his leadership, the Gators won the national championship back in the 1990s. He played for a few years. He bounced around the pros. He didn't quite have the talents that some quarterbacks have, but he played a few years in professional football. A few years ago, my friend got to meet Danny Werfel, and he was just all excited to meet him because he was his Gator fan. And he got to meet him in a relaxed setting. There was a mutual friend that introduced him, and he got to actually sit and visit with Danny Werfel. And this friend of mine told me about their conversation. It has stuck with me ever since. He said he asked Danny Werfel, he said, whenever the coaching position opens up at Florida, have you ever considered taking it? And Florida's had some coaching openings over the last several years. And Danny Werfel's name is often floated as a potential candidate. And Danny Werfel told my friend, he said, no, not really. And he said this, I suppose if I had five lives to live, one of them probably would be to be the head coach of the Florida Gators. That would really be something. But I only have one life to live. And I'm doing what I need to do. Danny Werfel actually runs a charitable organization. He's a fairly religious guy, actually. And he's involved in charity work, and that's pretty much, demands his attention. I guess he made his money in the pros, stacked enough away, and he's doing what he thinks he needs to do that's of greater value. And that really stuck with me. There are a lot of things we could do with our life. That would be an adventure. That would be fun. Exciting. But what do we need to do with our lives? And I'm not talking here about occupations. That's a personal decision. And actually, God wants us in various walks of life. He wants bakers and butchers and candlestick makers. But while you're a butcher or a baker or a candlestick maker, what are you really doing with your life? What are you really seeking? What are you really pursuing in your life? What are you trying to accomplish with it? Are you living the life that after you've lived it, there's going to be some spiritual good come from it? Are you living the kind of life that when it's done, what you've done is pretty much just going to perish? Or are you living the kind of life that when you're done, there's going to be a lasting, eternal value to that? That you would have lived the kind of life, had the kind of values, had the kind of priorities, and had the kind of relationships with people, that when this earth is done, that there is still value to what you did. There's an impact to what you did. You see, you have to see eternity to see life that way. If you just live with tunnel vision and put the blinders on, there are going to be all kinds of things that look exciting and tantalizing and exciting and fulfilling. But when you look at things broadly, spiritually, and you see way down the road, and you see into eternity, then things become more clear and our choices and our priorities are affected. because our perspective is eternal. And do you see God? I mean, there's so many things we're trying to seek and pursue, but are we seeking God above all things and being right with Him and being in His kingdom? Which means, do we see God? Do we see God's rule? And do we see Him as this Father who provides? There are two ways to look at this life. One is to just see the physical world. Certainly the atheist is this way. But even a lot of people who intellectually say, oh, yeah, I think there's a God somewhere. He's like something. I don't exactly know who He is or what He's like or it or whatever. And even some people who have a more biblically refined view of God, they're still, when they look around, they just see the physical. They just see the earthly. Which is sad because it's all going to rust, be eaten up, be stolen, or just wear out. But there's another way to look at God, at the world around us, at life. And that is, there's a God behind all of it. There's a God that's the origin of it. There's a God that's the ruler of it. And there's a God that is the only destination from it. And He rules and He provides. You see, if you have the second perspective, that you see God, then not only do you walk with Him, you live with Him faithfully. And not only do you live by the right priorities, it affects how you handle life. It affects how you handle hardship. And it will affect you in such a way that you see things differently. There is nothing that better equips us to handle hardships than perspective. Some of you are paying health insurance every month or every time you get a paycheck. Why? Because you're preparing in case you have health problems in the coming year. You're making investments, probably, for your retirement, because in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, you're not going to be able to function at your job as you are now, and you need a nest egg. And that's all great. That has a place. But there are going to be all kinds of things that happen to us that we can't predict. Maybe even in the coming year. That can be difficult. Maybe even tragic. And there's nothing we can do to prepare for them. To prevent them. But there is something we can do. And that is, we can develop the right perspective. Because we have this kind of perspective that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 6. That we value the heavenly over the earthly. That we focus on the One who is there to provide for us and care for us. And we seek Him above all things. Then whatever may happen to us in this life on this earth, we will have a greater ability. We will be more equipped to handle those things if we have this spiritual perspective. Because it's when we get the right perspective that we get the right priorities. Which means that sometimes when these hardships or even tragedies come, the weight of them won't be quite as great. Because here's the truth. And this is what Jesus is driving at in Matthew 6. We are, in our earthly existence, going to have tragedies and hardships. But if we stay faithful to God, there is something that we're guaranteed. That relationship with Him and eternity with Him. And no hardship and not even a tragedy can take that away from us. That even if the worst thing that could happen to us happens to us in the next year, and though it may bring tears to us and those around us, and it brings heartache deep, deep down in our soul, if we're right with God and we have the hope of heaven, even hardships and even tragedies will not crush us. Because it's when we see God with faith, not only do we have the right priorities, we have a different way of living and a different way of looking at things. But we have a lot of duties in the coming year. We have a lot of responsibilities, deadlines, lists to check off. plans to make and problems to tackle. But as we're in the middle of all that, let's see more. Let's see God, and let's see eternity. And so, how we handle next year and what our priorities are will be different. May God help us all to have the kind of perspective and priorities that reflect the teaching of our Lord Jesus.